Whenever you're ready, Vice Chairman.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. And we'll start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young. Vice Chairman Dana Hennis.
Present.
Commissioner Tyson Garten.
Present.
Commissioner Jenny Greger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Main.
Present.
First item on the agenda is the consent agenda.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Any second?
I second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So first up on the public hearing agenda is a tabled case from May 10, 2022. It's case number 21-04-AN, 21-03-ZC, 21-01-PUD, 21-03-S, 21-04-SUP, 21-26-DR for Sabino's Rocky Ridge Subdivision. Troy?
Good evening, Commissioners. For the record, Troy Behunin, Planning and Zoning Department, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. So the application before the Commission this evening is from Providence Properties LLC. They are the applicant. They are requesting to approval for a multitude of land use applications that you just read. Listed on the staff report and also in the packet. They are first seeking to annex approximately 55 acres into the city of CUNA city limits using three different zones. Approximately 39.61 acres for R6 medium density residential, 6.16 acres of R8, and 9.8 acres of C1 commercial neighborhood commercial. The applicant is also requesting approval of a planned unit development, also known as a PUD, for approximately 136.17 acres in total. They are proposing three different zoning districts to create a master plan community. They are requesting preliminary plat approval in order to subdivide the approximate 136 acres into a total of 724 lots. That includes 604 single-family lots, 114 common lots, and 6 commercial lots. The PUD is a method where applicants may request changes to the city code in order to achieve design flexibility for the neighborhood. Among other items, in exchange for providing certain elements that will set their project apart from a typical straight subdivision. The applicant is requesting a special use permit, as a special use permit is required by the PUD code. 81 acres of the project is already in the city of CUNA. It was previously known as the Sanctuary Subdivision. It was approved back in 2007. However, it never was developed, and it lost all of its approvals except for annexation into the city and the zoning. The applicant's proposing a rezone for these lands that were formerly known as the Sanctuary Project. They are proposing to rezone approximately 81.05 acres to R6 from the R4 zone that it currently has. And they're requesting that as part of their PUD proposal. The applicant has proposed 14.30 acres or 10.59% of the total project to be qualified as open space, which meets the requirement of the PUD. Public Works conditionally supports the Sabino's Rocky Ridge subdivision development with conditions that of that support that are listed in 4.C of the city's engineer's memo, which is included in your packet. The city engineer does recommend that a development agreement be created between the developer and the city to define each party's responsibilities for a creative temporary sewer solution, which is also outlined in the memo from the city engineer. The applicant has proposed an irrigation pump and pond for their subdivision, which will serve beyond their boundaries. It will serve other areas of CUNA surrounding their property. It's listed on the preliminary plat as lot number 13. The Planning and Zoning Department does agree with Public Works recommendations listed in his engineer's memo. The applicant proposes changes to the setbacks for the proposed R6 and R8 zones, which are stated in their narrative and other submitted materials. The changes that they are requesting are to the setbacks only. Staff recommends that the applicant be conditioned to work with the city engineer for proper easement width for the project as a whole, and in particular the clustered four-pack product that does have a private driveway proposal. Staff recommends that the developer be conditioned to place sod within the rights of way between edge of sidewalk and the bottom of the swale for weed control, and to enter into a license agreement with ACHD for that along 10 Mile and Hubbard Road frontages. Staff has reviewed the proposed annexation for qualification, and it does meet the requirements. The proposed rezone, we've also reviewed the preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code, the special use permit, and the design review for compliance of Title V and Title VI of the City Code, Idaho State Statutes 676511, and CUNA Comprehensive Plan. And if the sewer infrastructure improvements recommended by the Public Works Department are completed, then they would meet all of staff's recommendations. And with that, I would sit for any questions that you might have for staff.
I have one question. Is there a timeline on that report coming back for the design and construction of the regional lift station?
There is not a time frame, no, but they will, maybe in their presentation they can elaborate on discussions that they've had with the city engineer about that.
Couple of clarifications I'd like to have, see if you can provide, is so when you're talking about the setbacks are the only thing that wants to be changed, but that affects the overall net densities and gross densities to exceed that of the R6 and R8 within allowances, correct?
Not exactly. Setbacks and easements don't change the overall lot composition. Increasing the densities for the R8 and the R6 zones, that's actually a benefit of using or applying the PUD. That is what allows you to request changing the setbacks. The setbacks don't actually change the density.
Right, that's kind of what I figured, so that's why I wanted that clarification, because there's kind of two things going on here.
Correct.
You know, we're affecting the setbacks for the positioning of these structures on there, yet, however, we're also looking for a net density increase on both these R6s and R8s.
Yes, that's why staff recommends that they work with the city engineer about easements, because setbacks and easements are different things. One is for utility construction for all utility companies or for the ones that they're dedicated to. Setbacks are a zoning thing so that we have proper separation and things like that.
Right. Okay. Did you have other questions? I think that's all I've got at this time.
Okay.
The applicant would like to come up.
Oh, sorry. I'd just like to point out that a letter has been set on your desk from Neil Durant. It was delivered just before midday today. You have a copy on your desk, and we have some others available if needed for those that would be interested. But it is a part of the packet.
Got that fixed?
Can you go to the...
Commissioners, if you will refer to the, it's a copy of the same presentation that's on the left side of your screens.
Thank you. My name is Patrick Connor. Address is 701 South Allen Street, Meridian, Idaho. I work with Providence Properties and we build communities. I'm really happy to stand in front of you all tonight to present Sabino's Rocky Ridge. It's been a long time coming. About a year ago, we submitted this project and the application. We're scheduled in the fall and kind of had to do a last-minute redesign with ACHD's rules and parameters for street grids and traffic calming. And so got it back, turned back in, and anyway, very happy to be in front of you all tonight. So thank you for having us. We have a, like Troy has mentioned, a pretty big project, and there's a lot of details. So I just want to go over some of the items we'll be discussing tonight. So go over the community overview, talk about the namesake, go over some maps, look at the proposed zoning and review the preliminary plat, look at some of the PLUD parameters that, or PUD parameters that Troy had spoken about, talk about the open spaces and amenities, housing product, private driveways, parking plan, the commercial land use plan, regional utility investments, and then we'll touch on the EMS and fire access, tax benefits and community relations, and then lastly I'll talk about our Hubble Hero House here in CUNA, and then our new Creative Homes winner. Let's go ahead. So moving forward, so this is a PUD application, as Troy said. It's 134 and a half acres. There's three zones, R6, R8, and C1. Majority is R6. We're proposing 604 single-family lots, six commercial lots that total about 8 acres of commercial lots, and 114 common lots. We have over 10% open space with parks and amenities that we'll touch on more in detail. And our PUD requested variance of setbacks for the R8 zone, use of private driveways, and a slight increase in net density for R6 and R8 zone. I'll dive deeper into the details about the PUD soon. We also have a significant regional lift station in the northwest corner of the project that will serve the greater region. So real quick, just want to talk about the name Sabino's Rocky Ridge, just for explanation about the gentleman that this community is named about. His name is Sabino de la Concepcion. He passed away in 2016, but he had a really interesting life. And so he was born and raised in the Basque region of Spain, and at 14 he started working on fishing boats in Spain, and eventually found himself in Alaska on king crab boats and in the California. And met his wife and settled in CUNA, where they had a small cattle operation here in town on the corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard, and expanded it to Caldwell. He worked as a cattle rancher until he died in 2016, and he survived by his two daughters and wife. It was nice working with the family when we were purchasing this property, and we're happy to honor his legacy with his name. Go ahead. So this is the vicinity map. It's located in the northwest corner of CUNA on the corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard. So the sanctuary, as Troy said, was a preliminary plat back in 2017. It was annexed and zoned back then. When we first got under contract with the property, we noticed and realized that it had limited access on existing roadways of just Hubbard, and we were looking for opportunities to bridge it to 10 Mile, and we were able to do that with two other parcels. Go ahead, click it. So we were able to secure 15 acres as a bridge in between, and then the 40-acre corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard with the CUNA property. It not only is a pathway for emergency access services, but it's also a pathway for utilities, which we'll talk about in detail further on. Go ahead. Thank you. There you go. So the comp plan map, majority of the project is medium density on that west side, and the rest is mixed use. And talking with the city about how to utilize that mixed use best, we decided and agreed that all the frontage along 10 Mile Road would be neighborhood commercial. Go ahead. So as we said before, the sanctuary plat was annexed as R4, and the rest currently is in the county. And then what we're proposing, go ahead. is majority R6 with a rezone of the R4 to R6, and then a small sliver of R8 as a kind of a transition between the C1 along the eastern side of 10 Mile Road. This is an overview of the preliminary plat. About 46% of the single-family lots are 40 feet wide, traditional 40-foot wide home. The yellow that you see is the 50-foot, and then the larger 60-foot wide lots are majority along the western side of the property. That R8 zone in between the traditional single-family and the commercial is our 42-foot wide cottage lots. There's 50 of them there. And then, obviously, the commercial against 10 Mile Road. And what you see in green is the green space. So I'll kind of get into the PUD parameters and actually kind of help clarify, because maybe I wasn't as clear in the narrative. But we are proposing a setback request, but there is a change to the minimum lot size as well. So the R8 zone, the minimum lot size is currently 3,200 square feet. We're proposing a minimum of 3,000 square feet, which I think kind of clears up the need for increased density as well. We're asking for a decrease of 5 feet of the rear setback, 10 feet on the front setback, and the street side yard, 5 feet. The interior side setbacks would remain at five feet. And then the maximum lot coverage, we're asking for 50% rather than 40%. And then the net density request, we're allowed to have 6. We are asking for 6.15 in the R6 zone, and in the R8 zone, we're asking for 8.91. This is a change of 2.5% and 11.4% respectively. Per code, with a PUD application, we're allowed to ask up to 15%, and so we're within that parameter. So this is our open space and amenity map. So we have 14.3 acres of open space, which is over 10%. We have 4 tot lot and playgrounds kind of scattered around. In designing communities around the Treasure Valley, we've learned that it's nice to have a lot of equity in where you place these parks kind of around the communities, especially for these big master plans. So we've really paid a lot of attention to that. You can go ahead and click the next slide. So the largest park area is on in that 81 acres where we have almost a 6-acre park. We have kind of a large open field for team sports, a large tot lot there, 2 pickleball courts, and then some workout stations that are similar to the workout stations that you'll have just behind this building here. They're kind of nice if you're on a jog and want to do pull-ups or push-ups. We're also proposing a dog park in the northwest corner there that's fenced in. That's next to the PI lagoon and pump house and the future regional lift station. Another tot lot in the north part of that western 80 acres. Another tot lot in the middle 15 acres there, and then on the 40 acres along the east side, we have a 2.5-acre park that has a tot lot, 2 pickleball courts, and pathways. And we have a lot of pathways to kind of cut up the project in large blocks to kind of create the pedestrian connectivity for recreation and everything like that. That's been a big amenity. Every time we talk to our home buyers and what's the number one amenity that you're looking for, usually it's walking pathways and places to jog and walk my dog and teach my kid how to ride a bike. So we've prioritized that here at Spinos Rocky Ridge. It's just a snapshot of some of the amenities that we'll have there with the tot lot and the pickleball courts, workout station, and the dog park. These are some renderings of select homes that we'll be offering. There's a lot more home designs in this, but we spent the past couple of years really redesigning our housing product at Hubble Homes. The top 8 houses you see would be on the 50-foot lots, and the lots below would be the 40-foot wide lots that you'd see on the 40-foot lots and also the cottage size lots. And these are for the larger 60-foot and greater wide lots. And then we just debuted our next. Oh, you're fine. Go back one, if you can. Can you click the left button on your keyboard? Yeah. So, and then one more forward. There you go. So these are our new reflection series that we are just now rolling out. We're starting to build in Star. That we're really excited about and proud of. This is kind of our luxury state house series that we're hoping to offer here at Spinos Rocky Ridge as well. There's really high-end finishes, lots of garage space, and the option for RV garages for all the toys that folks have these days. ahead. And then the last product I want to talk about is a CUNA cottage. So this is a new concept that we're offering here. It's very similar to what we already have in our single family homes. It is a single family lot. The only difference is that it's on a smaller lot. And the idea there is to offer kind of a lock and leave, a lower maintenance kind of lifestyle option for folks. I know my parents live in a townhouse, and they absolutely love being able to leave for a month at a time. They're actually driving to Idaho right now, and they don't have to worry about mowing the yard or taking care of things. And we're trying to offer that sort of similar lifestyle here. So this is that R8 zone where we're asking for the decreased setbacks and the smaller lot size of 3,000 square feet. Also, all of these homes front on a private driveway. So talking to the city and the fire department, they didn't want any more than four homes along a private driveway, and they didn't want the private driveway to be any longer than 150 feet. And so we're honoring that in this application. And the hope also is that we can provide these homes at a more affordable rate than a typical single family. Because we're able to fit more houses, more density here, the land basis is less, and we can be able to offer a discount for a traditional single family home. They all have two-car garages. Can I have another 5 minutes? That's okay?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. So, once you can click it, Harris Ranch is an example of where these are locally. Those are 7 and 8 foot or 8 number of houses on a private drive. We're not providing that. We're just doing 4. But these things are extremely popular. They're low maintenance, and they're more affordable. Go ahead. One thing that we think about a lot is parking. Like I said, every house has a two-car garage, but we also are offering both on-site parking and adjacent parking. So over 101 spaces, it's over about 2 spaces per building for visitors and things like that. Since we don't allow parking on the private driveways or in the driveways allowing the space for it, it's nice to have some visitor parking for folks that come. The next exhibit shows these private driveways. They're 20 feet wide per the fire department standards. There's no parking allowed on them, and they're all less than 200 or 150 feet in length. So real quick about the commercial. That is neighborhood commercial there, and that was a big priority of the Public Works or the Economic Development Department. Everything from food, restaurants, retail, lifestyle centers, dentist office, daycares. We hope to have these services here. It's good for the community. They don't have to drive far. They don't have to leave CUNA, and they can keep the tax dollars in town and hopefully can cut down on time on the road for families. Good. So just real briefly about, or simply about the regional utility improvement. So the way that we have it discussed with Public Works is that the eastern 40 acres, the Sabino's portion in that corner, we'll use a temporary lift station just south of us at the Ewing Meadows that I know that you guys are probably familiar with from a couple months ago. So they have a development agreement, which we are a party of, and we'll enter a development agreement as well, hopefully, with Public Works for that temporary lift station. Now, it's only sized for R40 and their full project, and so the plan is that once there's enough affluent and there's enough affluent going into that temporary lift station, and we'll have enough to go into the regional lift station. Because right, it has to be its size, a certain size, so it has to have stuff going in there. So between the time of us going to the temporary, we'll be working on the regional. And as soon as we understand the timelines when things are going to be needed based on the number of homes, we'll be able to bring that regional lift station online, which is shown, and the route is shown in that pink drawing. Go ahead. This is the greater area of the regional sewer, so everything you see outlined in purple will eventually go into that regional lift station on our property. And so this is a big investment on our part, and it's going to take a lot of coordination with Public Works and our neighboring partners, other developers. And so far it's going really well as far as our coordination and making sure that we're working together to make sure this thing comes online. Obviously there's improvements that need to be done to the 10-mile line to the treatment plant, but we've been working with Public Works to make sure that we're all on the same page as far as timing and getting that to happen at the same time. Good. Real quick, the fire access. As I said before, we really wanted to have that bridge 10 miles so we can have 2 points of access to Hubbard and 10 Mile Road, and we were able to do this, and we're phasing the project that way and that's shown here, and that was approved by the fire department, and that's in your packet as far as their approval of our plan and the EMS and fire access. Good. I just want to touch on the property tax revenue. Just based on the size, you can all can look at this some other time, but based on the size of the house, this is kind of how much annually they'll give in their property tax revenues. Assuming a $425,000 house and a homeowner's exemption of $125,000, the city of CUNA, for example, will get $526 a year on the low end, $833 kind of on the average to high end annually. And then the school district gets probably the largest chunk of that. And then at build out, there's over $2 million going to the city and other taxing districts just from this project alone. So there's a big tax benefit in the long term for this project. Good. We have a number of partnerships. CUNA School District are here tonight. We've been working with them and figuring out how to support the school district best. Public Works, as I've spoken about in detail. And then we worked with neighbors to satisfy some concerns about as far as new fencing, shifting Shayla Road off of a property line, and agreeing to a single-story home adjacent to their property. Also just want to touch on any sort of irrigation that is going through our property that is extending to another adjacent property won't be disturbed. We'll ensure that all irrigation is dispersed appropriately. I just have a couple more slides. Sorry, this is a big project. If I can just a couple more minutes.
That's fine. I think this is appropriate information, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. We also have worked a lot with ACHD on their traffic calming parameters. As I said before, which we did a big redesign over the winter. Just want to plug the Hubble Hero House that's going on in CUNA right now in Greyhawk. If you can go back one. Sorry. So if you all haven't heard about this, the mayor was there for the groundbreaking, but every December we donate a home, all the proceeds from the home, and all of our trade partners also donate all their profits and owner and proceeds from the home. So upwards of $500,000 goes to seven charities that were voted on this year. Now, the CUNA Food Bank locally is one of the charities that will benefit from it. So come Christmas time of 2022, each of these charities will get a check for over $70,000, which is really exciting. It's really awesome that all of our trade partners, over 50, I think, trade partners come together to all give their proceeds to go to these charities. So that's something we're doing right now just down the street in Greyhawk. And then lastly, last week we had our Reflections home that I talked about earlier, some of our high-end stuff that we're proposing here in Star, almost swept all of the award categories for the Parade of Homes. Best overall interior design, exterior design, decorated, interior design and finish. So just want to know that we're spending a lot of time thinking about I know people are spending a lot of money on homes these days, and we want to make sure that we're providing the best possible home we can at the highest level of finishes that we're doing right now. So we're really proud of everything that we've accomplished so far at Hubble Homes, and really hoping to be part of the CUNA community in the long term as soon as Rocky Ridge. I'm going to the last slide, and with that, I stand for any questions or comments. Thank you all.
Thank you. I have a couple quick questions for everybody else. So you said that you've worked with the ACHD report with the traffic calming measures. Is that shown within these plats that we have in our packet, or is
yes.
What we have out of date?
You should have it. I don't know if you have a copy. I don't know exactly what you have. If you have a copy of this plain preliminary plat here and there. But a majority of the traffic calming, so one of the iterations and the changes that ACHD is going for now is limiting the length of a straight street at 750 feet in length. And so that was the big thing is all of ours were, you know, just 800, 900. They all had to be changed and redesigned. So what you see in your packet is showing that. I think we only have one or two roads now that have lengths of 750 feet that are longer. In addition, there's bulb outs and pinch points kind of scattered throughout here, and working with them on the best place to place those. And that should be shown in your in your packet. So,
Commissioners, it appears that it is. Can you tell me what that page number says up there on that left? 112? 152, excuse me. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So also in the requirements for the CUNA Fire District, they were saying that there were still two access points that they were requiring. And you said that you guys had provided that. So has that been updated as well since this report?
Yes, I have that here. I know they did just submit two sheets, and they submitted a second one. So I don't know exactly what you have in front of you, but I can present this to you if you like and see if it's the same one.
Let me see what date I've got.
This one was dated March 28th.
Looking at the 826 version, so, but it still says it'll be subject to the secondary emergency services access phasing plan.
Right. So, on the presentation, so as long as we follow, I think what they mean is as long as we follow the phasing plan and have that access, those access points to 10 Mile and Hubbard.
Okay. So they're referencing your phased access.
Correct. Which okay. I don't know. He referenced it on his PDF, but I don't know if he attached this phasing plan.
Okay, yeah, it does say here approved as per submitted phased emergency access plan on 328. Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we had updated there.
It's on the presentation. It's page 26 of the presentation if you want to take a closer look at it.
Oh, I saw that. Thank you. Okay, any other questions?
Not at this time.
Did you... going back to ACHD, could you tell me what roadway improvements off-site you guys will be addressing as part of this project?
Yeah, it's quite a bit. So in their staff report, they identified, make sure I get them right. So there are three intersections, 10 Mile Road and Hubbard, which is at our corner, Lake Hazel and 10 Mile, and Lindert and Hubbard. They're requesting at the 250th house that those intersections are signalized, temporary signal, 3x3 signalized intersection. Some of those intersections have some planning there. There's some money already kind of dedicated to them. And so in order for ACHD to sign off on the final plat of our 250th house, those intersection improvements have to be done. So the way that kind of works with the way that we do it is we're in constant contact with them as we develop phases, and they understand kind of what intersections are going to be improved at what point in time. And so we can't move on past the 250th house for ACHD. They won't sign off on our plans or the plat. And so those are the conditions that they have in their staff report.
So are there improvements planned on Hubbard and 10 Mile prior to the 250th month?
Potentially. I don't know. Eventually, there is a roundabout plan there. That's a long-term plan. That's in their CIP. As far as where it is on HHD's board, I don't know. There could be other projects that come in, or maybe they dedicate money, or they decide that this could be a priority intersection. And if that intersection gets constructed before our 250th house, that's one that we're not obligated to put a temporary signal in that location. So I don't know exactly when these improvements are coming. I do know that they have to be done before our 250th house.
Thank you.
Kind of on that one as well, now that he kind of brings that up, with that 250th house, it's set up with the ACHD reports, but that's based on the traffic impact study that we've been told is over a year and a half old. So has that been updated or revised?
It's not over a year and a half old. The study was completed in, I think, spring of 2021, right before we submitted our project. We haven't been asked to update the traffic impact study. Typically, when we submit a project, that's the life of the TIS. So, no, we haven't updated it since we submitted the application.
Yeah, it's about a year old. It was revised May 19th, 2021. So, yeah. Okay. I just wanted to comment on that. Okay, no other questions. I appreciate your presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we'll go ahead and open up public testimony at 6:37. On the sign-up sheet I have in front of me for this request, I have Patrick, of course, and yes.
Sorry, before we start calling individuals, there are a couple that came in late, if you would like to make sure that they get a chance, if they would like to.
Okay, I was going to do that as well. With that, anybody that's here present that would like to testify that has not signed up on the sheet already? Okay. So in our in favor, I have Robbie Reno also to testify. So as everybody would come up, you have the 3 minutes to do your presentation, and just kind of going over the rules. Please state your name and address for the record so we know who's speaking.
Robbie Reno, Kuna School District, 711 East Porter Street, Kuna, Idaho, 83634. As you know, growth is a big concern for the Kuna School District. Patrick O'Connor and Pablo Holmes is one of the few developers that they believe growth should pay for it, and they've committed that by every house they're contributing a financial contribution to our plant facility fund so it will reduce the impact to all residents when we need to build another school. So we are in support of this, and we know we can handle the growth potentially with the contributions and the mitigation that they've provided to us, and we're very thankful that they have done that because it lessens the burden to our taxpayers when we go to bond. We will still need to go to bond to accommodate all this development, but it'll reduce the impact and the mitigate the impact, and we really appreciate that. Another concern that we have is the busing. And we've caught some talks with Mr. O'Connor, and he's very, very collaborative. But we'll figure out a bus loop as the phasing goes on, because currently we go down Hubbard Road. We pick up on that road, but then on a private land use owners, the bus turns around in their drive, and we don't know if that will change in the future or not. But we just want to make sure that we have passage until Shayla connects all the way from Hubbard to Lake Hazel. We like that priority to happen, but we understand ACHD has their rules, and we'll work with them. But as far as busing, that's one condition we want to make sure we have. But again, that's the main reason we're in favor, is because they're gaining a partnership with us, and they're helping us. So I stand for questions.
I don't have any. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a question? Thank you. Okay, I have no one here listed under a neutral category, so I have some names under the in opposition. First one would be Jay Voth. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Jay Voth. I live at 3600 West Hubbard Road, Kuna, Idaho, 83634. My concern, I know he said that the irrigation, that they wouldn't mess with it. There's some funny things that go along with the irrigation that come through there. It's, a lot of it comes from up the road, comes down to South 40, across the street from Sabino's Ridge, and then it comes down and comes through a piece of property there, then cuts across a corner of mine and into, I think, Neil's place, and goes down underground through a grate and goes through. Then there's a pond at the 10 acres next to me where one of those parks is going to be, and that's where any excess water that comes down the ditch has to go down there and then go to Indian Creek, and it cuts through the 14 acres that they tied the two pieces of ground together with. And in the meeting that we had over the phone with them, they said that Romar Lane was not going to be improved, and that they wouldn't have access to it, but they were going to maintain it. And after Hubble Homes is all done, then the Homeowners Association is going to maintain the road, which they don't have access to, according to what I've been told. But there is one cutout at the end that ties the two pieces together, and then it looks like they changed that and put another turn in going into that 14 acres that cut in to go back to the 80. But without them having access to the road, there is a walkway that comes through right in front of my place, and then that other piece cuts in. I think it goes in where the 10 acres next to me is. But if they don't have any access to the road, I'm sure that some president of the Homeowners Association isn't going to want to maintain that road, because it's a private lane and it's a dirt road, and you know, it, you know, I don't think that they're going to, you know, do that. The other thing that the other neighbor that's not here, he has those same concerns, is the traffic when we pull out of Romar Lane. Is, you know, if there's 600 houses down there, times two people's driving, times, you know, two teenagers driving, there's, I don't know how long it take for us to get out, if, you know, unless they put a stop sign. I think everybody that's on Hubble or on Hubbard Road has the same concern of just pulling out of our driveways, you know. So I think the traffic is a main thing. The irrigation is definitely the way it runs if they go look at it. And I know they know what they're doing. So, but the lane is going to be a really huge concern, because I know it will not be taken care of after they leave. I'm sure they'll take care of it in the meantime, but, you know, the president of the Homeowners Association isn't going to take care of that. They're going to, you know, if it needs a load of gravel, I'm sure they're not going to show up and take care of it. I mean, and that Romar Lane is a private lane, but I think it's deeded to the 14 acres, is that right? The Romar Lane? Yeah, it's part of the 14 acres. Or it was until the rest of it, you know, it'll all probably be all tied together. But the lane, I think, is a really big issue, because it'll, you know, once they pull out, it is what it is, unless they've changed it, and I don't know about that. But, you know, people be riding their bikes through there and petting the horses and whatever they do, that with no access. I've been told they have no access to it. That's only for fire. So thank you.
So I have Vicki Johnson on here as to not testify. Is that still correct? Okay. Next one up is Scott Heiger.
Is there a chance the last display of his presentation? And as part of my talk, can I put a point to it?
Yeah, try to be near a microphone as much as you can.
Okay.
Just so that we've got it on record.
I thought that would be easier. Okay, thank you. So my name is Scott Heiger, 9105 South Romar Lane, Cuna, Idaho, 83634. And so I think the biggest concerns I would like to bring is just that impact. I appreciate you bringing up the concerns as far as, you know, 10 Mile and Hubbard, because even if, you know, we go up to the 250th home with two-car garages, you know, it's a dead-end road, ties into 10 Mile, and that gets backed up big time already as is. So what is being, you know, looked at to address that right off the get-go? I don't think we can wait till after 250 homes and stuff, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Jay brought up the irrigation water, and I do have a concern. This is where I'm going to step off. So the state lateral comes down here and stops, and it flows through this property to get to drain on through. And I just need to know what is going to happen to that drainage. But also, this is my property right here. As I irrigate, it enters into this property and it all floods down to drain into this, and that's how it escapes my property. And so I have a whole bunch of homes here that I guess I just want to be on public record. If those flood down the line, or how's that going to be addressed? Because in talking to the irrigation district, my water can flow on down the way it's always flown, and we just have to, you know, address that or see how that's going to be taken care of. The other thing is when
Roger Welsh put in this road, Romar Lane, it came down. The fire department made them put a turnaround right there, because that's where Romar ends. It doesn't continue on into my property, and they don't show that turnaround right there. So their fire access comes here, but it doesn't show this. And so can that be addressed where the fire department's request for a turnaround is still there. And then I guess I'll stay up here. The last thing I had was, what is the fencing going to be along here so I don't have kids, dogs, everything going out into my cattle and everything up in that area? Sorry, I rubbed up so much.
And so, you know, as we look at this, I mean, I understand development happens and it goes, but we also have to realize that some of us have made our lives here and we want to continue to have our lives here. And how can it be, you know, impacted the least? And are we just considering just the overall impact of that many homes when you realize that beyond Hubbard on the other side is a huge subdivision? We just met at a meeting a week ago that the far corner up there, they're wanting to put 600 and some homes. I mean, we're already talking over 1,200-1,300 homes in a square mile, and that's not counting the ones on the other side of Hubbard. And so as we look at this, do we have the infrastructure to even handle that? Do we have the roads to handle that? Not to mention, you know, what Jay brought up as far as our concerns with Romar Lane. I'm okay if they want to leave it a dirt road, but if it becomes the access to everybody that lives right along there, then all of a sudden we have a lot of people that are sitting in our driveways, and we're just trying to get out and conduct our lives. So thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you. One question. So you all have direct access off of Romar Lane there as it continues past that indicated fire turnaround? That's your access to your residence?
Yeah. So my land starts right here.
Right.
So Romar continues to here, and this is where the turnaround is right now. And this is little Roger Welsh's house here. So that turnaround, so their plat, as I understand, connects there. But when I questioned them before, I asked them, are they going to continue that turnaround? Because Romar ends here, but they don't have any
right
condition for that. And I'll be gated off here.
Okay. And now, do you farm, so do you have equipment that comes in and out that direction,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, and so what the width and the diameter of this means a huge amount to me, too.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Can I get a squatter down there? Can
right.
Can I get 40 acres, everything down there? So what that, you know, width is, from the diagrams I got before, I never could see what the total width of that is, but I appreciate you bringing that up. That's definitely.
I mean, by rights, it should be an ACHD-rated road, so it should be the right distance, but at least on one side, so we need to probably address what's appropriate there. So, okay.
Any other questions?
Not for myself.
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. I really do.
Thank you. Last one on the list here is Tammy Harmon that was not to testify. Is that still correct? Okay. So with that, that's everybody on the list. I'll ask one more time. Anybody else want to add on any testimony? Okay. So we'll go ahead and allow some rebuttal.
Thank you, Commissioner. I just want to clarify one thing. You asked me about ACHD improvements. I was talking strictly about the intersection improvements. There are other roadway widening, turn lanes, decel lanes, particularly around 10 Mile and Hubbard that we're required to do and that are part of ACHD's conditions. So I just wanted to clarify that. So about the big question about irrigation, completely understand your concerns. We agree, trying to figure out where all the irrigation's come and crossing. It's something that we've kind of have already started looking at and trying to engineer. It's something that one of the first things that we start to do when we start designing a project is knocking on your door, calling you up, and if you could give us your number, that'd be helpful to understand kind of what's going on and how not to interrupt with the delivery of it, make sure that it still gets folks what they need and what they're entitled to. And hopefully, a lot of times, we end up kind of improving the general area of it. We're talking about areas that were maybe runoff or flooding or things like that. That's something that we're very intimate with on a lot of different projects. So that's a priority of ours because if we don't deal with it, if we don't try to fix it, it's just going to be an issue for our homeowners and things like that. So just want to kind of touch on that. Romar Lane, as we discussed, so it is part of that 15-acre Welsh property. There is an easement on the property for access easement. And so we don't have, as you can see in this project, we don't have any direct access into our subdivision from there. There is only the emergency access in the top northwest corner of that 40 acres. While it is stubbed out, it will be bollard off and strictly for emergency access. So we will not have any community traffic coming up and down that road. It's strictly for the folks that already have an access, are already part of that access easement on Romar Lane. We're not paving it or changing it or improving it because we didn't want to interfere with the maintenance agreement that's already in place. And so we're more or less keeping it as is in agreement with that maintenance agreement. So part of that is, and that will probably be blocked off or bollarded off as well. If at some point in the future adjacent property develops, we want to make sure that there is something there. So that a lot of times you have these pathways to nowhere, but eventually, hopefully, they'll be somewhere. They'll connect somewhere at some point in time. So about the traffic improvements to Hubbard Lane, particularly that intersection, obviously it's something that we're aware of. We know it's a problem. We all sit in traffic every single day. And so that's why we have the traffic study, and that's why ACHG put that cap on the 250th house there for that improvement. I just also want to add in that Ewing Meadows, which was recently approved a few months ago, also has requirements to dedicate and improve these intersections as well. And so it's more or less a community effort to get these things to come on as soon as they can. And we're all kind of tied to the same sort of restrictions that ACHD has kind of scoped out for this area. The turnaround for the fire turnaround, we will work with fire department on where that goes, whether it looks like a hammerhead into our sort of park green space where we do have that emergency access there. We'll definitely work with the fire department and make sure that that access and that turnaround is sufficient. So that's one of the things as we start to dive in and really design this project, making sure we're talking to the right departments, make sure that that turnaround is.
The people guaranteed. That live on the 40, the old Cedillo place, they won't have access to the.
Romar.
They can't put gates in their backyard and
no.
Put their boats in there.
No.
In there.
No.
Because I just foresee that being an issue.
Those will get towed away like that. And our HOA is on top of that kind of stuff. And it's owned to maintain the HOA. It's regulated just like a private driveway is regulated. You can't park an RV or a trailer on there. So it won't be a problem. It will. Hopefully it's not a problem. If it is a problem, it'll be addressed.
I don't think there'll be a problem with you guys. I just see down the road.
The HOAs are, they're kind of in everyone's business. So for a lot of good reasons, but they like to push their weight around sometimes. So I think that pretty much hopefully I address most of these. Thanks, Mr. Reno, for coming tonight, for your support. The fencing.
Along the back side of that 15 acres. What you're proposing there?
Yeah, so the property lines will be fenced. Privacy, 6-foot fencing.
Like a vinyl type or a wood type?
A vinyl, per the landscape requirements. So it's an adobe color vinyl fence around all property edges.
What about on the west side of the property?
Yeah, it's the same thing along the road. And so are you talking about north of the Welsh property? We can work with you on that. If you have an existing fence, that's right. So typically we always fence the property edges, and we can coordinate with landowners as we get there. But the plan was to fence all property boundaries with the 6-foot vinyl fence. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And did you address the irrigation runoff
coming
off
the,
that into that.
I touched on it. So obviously we don't want the runoff to inhibit the backyards of those homeowners. So we have a different ways we can address it, whether we have a swale that moves it into another drainage way. And we deal with this kind of stuff, particularly this time of year, all the time. So, yeah, it's something that, and I'm glad it was brought up. And before we kind of start getting any of the design of phases, one, like I said, one of the first things we do is we figure out the irrigation, because it tends to be something that comes back to haunt you, especially if you're doing a bunch of construction during the dry time, and then all of a sudden the groundwater starts rising, or runoff becomes an issue. So,
yeah. Yes. Troy, did you have something to add?
Yeah, just for the record, Troy Buchanan, Kuna Planning and Zoning Department. So, Jessica, if you would run the mouse right where it's at, up and down that is what's called a mid-mile collector. So city code does not require that an applicant place fence for that section on the east side of the road. Now, they will have to for the west side of that mid-mile collector along the back side of the property lines for homes. So they do not have to, and they're not required to put one on the east side of the road. Now contrast that with where Romar Lane is, right there. Now at the back of those homes, there will have to be a fence on the east side where the property lines are between homeowner and Romar Lane.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure that everybody is aware that the developer is not required to fence on the east side of that future mid-mile line.
Correct.
So it's going to keep everybody walking down that road. That's going to be an open road, isn't it?
It is an open road, but as I understand it, it's kind of your property would have to be fenced to your requirements. It's just like anybody else on the side of a road. We all have to abide by what we want to do for fencing there. Again, that's kind of, yeah, that's
prop. Those are the things that, you know, they can move in, that's great, but those are the things that are going to, you know, interfere and change.
Right, not to keep getting comment from the audience here. It's good things, but that's just like any other property where it's, if they step across into your fence, unfortunately, that's their problem. They're trespassing. They need to know that, too. So it isn't necessarily the applicant's responsibility to fence your side of the street, but I understand your concerns, but that would be no different than, you know, my neighbor to the south of me that has cattle as well, and he's got a barbed wire fence. I know better than to go in there. So it's to learn the behavior. But understand your concerns. Thank you. The other comment that I did want to clarify, too, and am I not correct, Troy, that any of the flood irrigation cannot be disturbed by state law, that it has to maintain its path currently or be designed to accommodate?
All irrigation, whether it's pressurized or whether it's flood surface, all of it has to be maintained.
Right. So the applicant, yeah, as he designs this, has to account for all the flooding, the other end of it. I don't know the correct terms, but, you know, the... Yeah, and so that will be an engineering issue that they have to deal with. But, yes, that will be taken care of because they can't change that path without.
Could I interject on that?
Go ahead.
Title 18 of the state code does not allow a property owner to impede the flow of water. Right. However, the only way that can be enforced is through the courts. So, therefore, it would be... And Troy and I have talked about this quite often. So in this instance, I would like to see the developer actually talk to the downstream water users and get their input on how water is handled. And in addition to that, just so you know, there's no review of gravity systems once they're redesigned. So that's going to be up to you guys to make sure that the developer is working with you so you make that sure that's done correctly. Another thing is when you put residential into rural settings, you've got conflicts that are going to occur. One thing I'm looking at here is fencing. I don't know what you guys do if you burn. Vinyl fences don't hold up to fire. And also, I've had instances where developers have put up wrought iron fences next to a ditch, and it makes a real good stop for sagebrush to fill up the ditch. So I would like to see the developer actually coordinate with the landowners out there to make sure that they are designing something that will assist with the, you know, the rural to residential transition. And, you know, I've been in CUNA a long time, and I really don't like the growth. I used to be able to get to Meridian in 8 minutes, and now it takes me 30. So, and the other thing, going back to the developer, I think personally that something needs to be done at Hubbard and 10 Mile immediately, initially. There needs to be some sort of traffic control there. Because I know that, you know, 200 houses down there, the traffic is going to be unbearable at that location. So that's my input on those two things.
So any other? I guess we've kind of moved into our discussion at this point. So, yes.
Will you be closing the public hearing prior, or are you going to wait till after deliberation in case there's additional questions?
Yes, okay. I'm going to wait till after, but thank you for the clarification.
I came into this with a lot of questions, but my questions haven't answered, so I am satisfied with staff report, with the applicant. I understand the concerns, but this is what we're dealing with in CUNA, unfortunately. Doesn't mean we have to approve everything that comes through, but
yeah, I appreciate the applicant's presentation. It did answer quite a few of my questions. I still have a concern with regards to that the Western Moor, 81 acres, going from an R4 now up to an R6 plus, I'll call it. I'm not quite sure if that's got the transitions that I want to see from the agricultural, the RR zones, everything else. I think it's all of a sudden you slam into a higher medium density residential there, especially with the homeowners that are and landowners that are along those edges, because you've got a lot of houses that are crammed along the edges. I mean, the western boundary is better, but you still have that middle section that's got a lot of the 40 and 50 foot, a lot of the 40 foot width. I like the design of the amenities and what they've got, but it's just on the basic minimum, just above basic. I like the mixed use part of it, especially towards the eastern edge. I think that transition to the commercial, to the R8 is good. We've dropped the other R8 of the first update that I saw, or the first section that I saw that was over in the western 81 acres. I still have concerns on the density.
And you're talking mostly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I would like to see some of the houses that are next to the existing acreages, the R4s. I think that's a better transition. That will work out. That will always work out. Even if those houses, acreages are sold down the road and developed, I think in the meantime, an R4 would be a much better transition. And I'm okay with the R8 along the east side, but I guess I don't fully understand the cottage concept. Personally, I wouldn't want to live in a subdivision next to those cottages, but maybe they're great. So I'm a little inexperienced on those. So
it's kind of a new wave type, townhome type, I guess is what I would consider.
Well, and I understand that some people don't want yard work. Yeah. So it's a good concept for those people who don't want yards.
The transition, I mean, it's just got so much kind of crammed there against Shayla Avenue. That's my main point of concern. Because we don't know anything about that middle section for its future, because it's not even in the city. Do you have any more thoughts, Jim?
Well, I agree with you. I think we need to maintain a little bit more of a buffer between the agricultural and the first set of homes. I think going to an R6 is pushing it a little bit. I think an R4 would be a much nicer setting. Other than that, I think that it actually works pretty well compared to some of the subdivisions I've looked at. I think it has some nice green space in it.
And I do appreciate the fact that they're thinking ahead for residents and people surrounding it, adding some extra parking in some of the cottages in different areas that we've had before. So I know that's been a concern in the past on some of our projects that have come through that we haven't had a lot of additional parking. The only thing that I do kind of worry about is whether there's any need for additional parking near the larger parks, because there is nothing other than street parking. And can I ask an applicant a question with regards to that? So the streets that are immediately adjacent to those large, or at least the one large one, the other one's kind of stretched to the right by your cottages. Do those allow, as it's determined right now, for on-street parking? Does it have enough width?
Yes, Commissioner, they do allow for on-street parking. And I do want to just point out, in the large six-acre park on the west side, there is a parking lot there. It's what you see in gray by the tot lot. So we did have an on-site private parking lot.
Oh, so just adjacent to it above.
It's the gray. It's, you see the pink tree? Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I don't have that on the one that's in the application. Yeah, see, it's different than what we've got in our application.
Oh, this is the one thing.
Right, no, see, we don't have anything over here in ours. The tot lot's up there. It's... Yeah, but how are we supposed to know what's different and what's not? This is the information we're given in the application packet, so I don't have any other idea what's there.
And just the parking thing for that park that big, we thought was more of kind of like a regional community gathering spot, which is why we had the parking lot. Generally, on the other ones, we thought they were more kind of can be serviced strictly by pedestrians. We try to centralize them, so if you're going to go to a smaller park, those three other smaller parks, we figured you're probably not going to drive there if you're going to go to the park anyway. We try to put them close enough and far enough from each other that they would be just pedestrianly accessible.
Right. I tend to agree with you on that one. So I appreciate that. I see the parking lot on the big one now, so that makes sense.
Commissioner Harris, the updated landscape plan does have it. It's on page 155.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was just trying to follow off the colored one, so I didn't realize that was out of date. So that explains it. Thank you.
Sorry, page 161, not 155.
Right, the overall on 154 also shows it too. Feel that we need additional information or anything at this point, or should we go ahead and close public testimony?
For the applicant, are you willing to look at this R6 along the, I guess that would be the 80 acres on the west side, on making going to R4 along those perimeter? I think it's Shayla.
Or at least a somewhat of a transition density between
next
those.
Yes, yes, Commissioner. If you can, Chris, can you go to slide 11 of the presentation? We completely understand the transition that you guys are talking about. I think this slide shows it a little bit better. So the purple are the large 60 and 75-foot lots we mentioned. The yellow are the 50-foot wide, and the pink are the smaller lots. This sort of changing from a 40 to a 50 isn't a hard thing to do. Obviously, it will decrease the number of lots, but we're open to the transition. We were trying to do our best to transition as we could. We've spoken, we know the owner to the west of us, and he's seen this plan. He's not here tonight, but we accommodated some requests that he had, as he wants to subdivide his property as well in the future, so we have those two stub roads adjacent to his property.
Is that Mr. Durant?
No. It's, Tuck Ewing. Sorry.
Okay.
To the west of us? Yes. And then also, like, to the north, Scott's property, we have those larger lots around the corners, and we have the 50-foot lots along the north end as a transition. So we tried to do our best to kind of buffer and transition to large on the outside, small on the inside. There's another application to the north of us adjacent that will share future Mason Creek where we have the 40-foot lots, and he's probably going to match the same lot size along there. So talking with him and coordinating with him, we're trying to honor that. As far as along Shayla, we're opening to increase in lot size there. Yeah, so that's a park, and that's so that's one of the reasons why it's green space, because we have some flexibility drainage in there.
Patrick, if I can cut in for a sec, sorry. If we're having conversations, they all need to be have into the microphone, because we need this for the minutes. So we can't have conversations coming from the crowd.
Okay, thank you. That answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, I will go ahead and close the public testimony at 7:15. And that moves us to commissioner discussion.
I don't know where it's at.
I think he's already kind of offered up some of the conditions, you know, that the applicant's willing to do, you know, work with the school for some with the bus route, mm-hmm. do, you know, work with the school district, and work with the fire department in order to figure out the turnaround on Romar. And then, coordinating the fencing with the adjacent homeowners, not on Shayla there, but where we were talking mm-hmm. about. Also, you know, he's also said they'll work with the adjacent property owners for their the water users, to make sure that they get the downstream and
for the runoff for the.
And then, if we can start looking at transferring the 40-foot lots there along Shayla to 50, I think that would that would give us a little better buffer. Those are what I have noted. Is there anything else that you guys had remembered?
Well, the one thing that it just sticks with me is the intersection of Hubbard and 10 Mile.
Unfortunately, we can make recommendations, but they're still subject to ACHD's requirements. You know, working with, if I think the adjacent property on the south side of Hubbard that's going to be developing is going to be pushing that to a little bit more. I think they probably have a certain amount that they've got to make or hit before they start improving it too. So there's a good chance that that may be bumped up, but unfortunately we can't do a whole lot. We've learned, but I agree. Otherwise, I mean, I do appreciate their filling out the amenities and making an effort to address the concerns of the adjacent neighbors. And it sounds like they're willing to work with the neighbors from here through construction. So with that, I'll leave it to you guys. See, you know where I go for it.
I know his concern. It's my concern.
I mean, the only thing maybe we can do is, well, I mean, it's still the city council reviews all but the SUP and the DR on this one. Right. But I guess we probably need to look at those specifically different. So they still, the rest need to be a recommendation to the city council. One way or the other.
Okay, so.
Commissioners, Troy Buchanan for the record. If the commission decides and would like to recommend that along Shayla that it is an R4 style of density, then you'll also have to make the recommendation that the plat be altered and brought back in order for you to make an accurate recommendation to the city council, because that will come up at city council. They'll ask if the plat that reflects that was seen by you folks. Just something to be aware of when you make your motion.
No, especially in something this size, you're correct. Thank you.
So that would be the first and only motion? Well, before moving forward with?
Yeah, we'd have to probably table this in order to have them rework the plat to bring it back for us to see.
Brought back for us to see. Right, to read through all of them.
Because ultimately that does affect the DR as well. There's landscaping, not a whole bunch, but technically it does.
Okay. We'll see if I can bumble through this. Mr. Chair, I would like to motion that we table case number 21-04-AN, 21-03-ZC, 21-01-PUD, 21-03-S, 21-04-SUP, and 21-26-DR till the plot is altered and brought back before us so we can review it.
Prior to
making the decision.
Hit the button.
Sorry, that was me.
Okay.
Commissioner.
Yes.
To help you bumble. If you will be specific about the changes you are requesting that be made so that they can specifically table case numbers A through Z so that the recommended changes of A, B, and C are made.
Okay. Yes, and the alterations we're looking for is the properties along Shayla specifically being going to R4, not R6.
Do we need to table it to a date certain, I would think?
And table to a date uncertain until we get that.
To a date certain. Because why don't we say
14?
Yes.
Maybe you should ask the applicant if they can have it altered by that time.
And I'm seeing a head shake, yes.
Okay.
We need that on the record.
Yes.
Sorry. So we need a yes or a no.
So
on
to
the
applicant, is that?
Sorry. Yes, we can have it to you by tomorrow.
By the 14th, okay. So tabled to a date certain of the next of June 14th, the next Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. And I thank everybody for the input.
Yes, thank you, guys.
We will move to the next item now. If people would like to stay, they're more than welcome to. If not, we'll go on to the next item. We'll give you a minute here to move.
I'll make sure that that is clean in the minutes, I promise.
Yes, that's a mouthful. Okay. So the next item, thank you, everybody. So the next item is tabled from May 10th as well, 2022. It's case number 22-02-SUP for the New Morning Avenue In-Care Home Daycare. Take it away, Jessica.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Planner 1, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. Applicant Lucy, because I will not try and say her last name. I promise I don't want to butcher it. Ms. Lucy requests special use permit approval to operate an in-home daycare for up to six children from 6:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday at 2997 New Morning Avenue. Lucy previously operated an in-home daycare while living in Boise and would like to continue providing child care services to her clients after relocating here to CUNA. Lucy is very familiar with the best child care practices and holds pediatric CPR, AED, and first aid certification, as well as having established sick child policies and discipline policy. The subject site contains a single-family residence with a fully fenced and landscaped backyard. Children will be dropped off and picked up by utilizing the existing driveway, which provides at least two parking spaces. The in-home daycare has already passed its fire safety inspection with the CUNA Rural Fire District, as well as its health and safety inspection with the Central District Health Department. Upon complete review, staff harbors no concerns and has determined the applicant complies with applicable CUNA City Code, Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the Commission approve the requested special use permit, with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in the staff report. And with that, I thank you and will answer any questions you may have.
I don't have any. Anybody else? No. Okay. Is there anything the applicant would like to add? If you would, go ahead and state your name and address for the record.
My name's Kelly Walton. I live at 448 East Pasqua Drive in the Patagonia subdivision, about a quarter mile from where Lucy and Abizi live. And I just want to state that I highly recommend their professionalism, their ethics, and their hard work. I've known them. They've become very close friends, and I think they'll do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So if the applicant is good with that, we'll go ahead and open the public testimony at 7:26. On the list is Lucy. if she wanted to add anything more. If not, okay. I'm going to mark as not testify on that one. And Nabizi's on the list as well, but you did not mark whether you wanted to say anything or testify at all? No? Okay. And then Mr. Walton was the final one on there, and he has given his testimony. So there is no one else on the list. Is there anybody else that's arrived late that has not signed in that would like to? Okay. I guess with that, we'll go ahead and close the public testimony at 7:28. And that leaves us to our discussion.
I don't have a problem with this. I think it's... I mean,
a lot of the time, we don't even get the inspections have passed already by the time we see it, so that's great.
Well, I think given the current economy and someone making daycare available is a good thing. So
I agree.
I have no issue with this at all.
No, it seems like everything's safety in order, health inspection, everything. So bring some pretty straightforward to me.
Are we moving to approve or to submit to?
This would be approval. SUPs are our approval. Or denial. That and DR is specifically us. So you're up.
Okay.
Or whoever.
Well, with that then, Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that we approve case number 22-02-SUP, special use permit for New Morning Avenue in-home daycare with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion passes. Thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate your patience. With that, I see no other items on the agenda or business items. Is there any reports from staff that you would like to state?
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you.